Blog Talk Radio.
Get off us.
Everybody, what up? It's Thursday, February 16th, 2012, and we'd like to welcome you back to the best roundtable in sports. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. Alongside me tonight at this A-plus roundtable are the generals of sports talk, Kill Bayon, Jimmy Williams, and B. Austin. Tonight we'll be talking Linsanity, and we'll also catch you up on all the hot stories of the week. At the bottom of the hour, it's Hip Hop and Sports Part 3, and our special guest in this installment of the series is renowned Philly battle rapper and Bad Boy recording artist E-Ness, the Loch Ness Monster. As always, we want to hear from you guys, so hop into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call into the show and talk to us on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. So before the Linsanity begins, we want to give a shout-out to our radio partners. Listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow them on Twitter at the BS Line. Also, check out Brandon and Chris on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on UERadioLive.com. If you love good sports talk, then you have no reason whatsoever not to tune into our radio family. Yo, Jimmy, who's having a birthday?
It's my birthday. Yay!
What's good, gentlemen? Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
Birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, which is located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Some of you young ladies, I saw you out in the streets on Valentine's Day, and you need to give a call to Lisa, at Days of Beauty. Anyway, first birthday I want to talk about is one Keith Edward Gretzky, who turns 45.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Dev.
Keith Edward Gretzky?
Yo.
Yo, he's the little brother of Wayne Gretzky, and I didn't even know Wayne Gretzky had a little brother who played in the league. So what I got to say to Keith Gretzky is, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, more or less. No, but what I'm saying, it's got to be a horrible situation. Anyway, Doc Bay, Keith Edward Gretzky.
Yo, I'm going to be honest. Like, I could read from online about everything that Keith Edward Gretzky did, but to me, he was so irrelevant. I was thinking, like, well, maybe Wayne was just Wayne Gretzky's nickname, and maybe his name really was Keith Edward, and somehow they just threw Wayne in there. Like, that's how insignificant, or that's how little I knew about Keith Edward Gretzky.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible. B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
Did Keith Edward get at the groupies that Wayne didn't want? Like, did he use the Gretzky legacy and last name to accomplish something?
Well, let me ask you a question. If your brother was Wayne Gretzky, would you have used the last name to get the groupies?
I think you know the answer to that, brother.
There's the answer to your question, then. That's all that needs to be said about one Keith Edward Gretzky. And I guarantee you we're probably the only sports show in America that's giving him a shout-out. Next birthday I want to talk about is one John Patrick McEnroe, who turns 53.
My birthday!
You can never trust a man with two first names. John Patrick McEnroe, B. Austin, what do you have to say about this gentleman? Okay. That's it. Kill John Patrick McEnroe.
Yo, McEnroe was a beast. He used to have epic battles with Jimmy Connors back in the day. He was always known for, like, cursing at the official or the line judge when the ball was in or out. Another thing about him, he should have got his – he should have had a pair of sneakers. Like, you had – Stan Smith had some sneaks. Rod Laver had some. Agassi had the bomb sneaks. So why McEnroe never got a chance to get some sneaks? That's all I want to know.
Yo, why all those sneaks that hot, though? Like, yo, those are some of the best sneaks you just named right there, yo. That's another story, Dev. John Patrick
McEnroe. I'm just thinking, like, why do we all think so much the same? Because I was thinking about sneakers, too. So, you know, he didn't have nothing hot. I mean, if he did, then I didn't know about him. But McEnroe was like the gangster of tennis because, like Akil alluded to, he stayed cursing out the line judges and just everybody. And he had no filter. He said what he wanted to say, and I actually respect that. So shout out to John McEnroe on his birthday.
Yo, let me keep it 100 with y'all. Like, prior to the Williams sisters, no, let me keep it 100. Prior to Serena, yo, John McEnroe was the only thing I knew about tennis.
Damn.
Yo, nobody gonna comment on that.
Yo, why was he born? Why was he born in West Germany? I didn't know that.
Let's move on from this, Jabron. And, you know, it's not
yo, only Dr. Bam would notice.
The next birthday I want to talk about is one Jerome Abram Bettis, who turns 40.
My birthday, yay!
I felt like Jerome Bettis retired 2 weeks ago, but he's 40. Kill Jerome Bettis.
Jerome Bettis, yo, it's crazy, but when I think of Jerome Bettis, obviously I think about him retiring and winning that Super Bowl in his hometown with the Steelers and all the fantasy points he stole from other running backs who would have, like, 90 yards rushing and, like, zero touchdowns, and he'd have, like, three carries for, like, 3 yards and three touchdowns.
Yo, I swear one game Jerome Bettis had, like, three carries with four touchdowns. Explain to me how he did that.
No, he really did have – it wasn't three carries. He had like three. He had like 2 yards and three touchdowns. Like, every time they got down to the goal line, they just gave him the ball.
Yo, and I would always have the other running back who he stole it from. You know what I mean? Like,
Fast Willie Parker or somebody.
Yeah, Deuce, Fast Willie Parker. Your man Deuce. Shout out to Deuce. Be Austin.
Yo, I'm gonna go another direction because towards the end of his career, that's exactly what he was. He was a touchdown stealer. Pun intended, but to be honest, you know, and some of us can relate, like I'm a big brother, but I always considered myself fairly to very athletic, and the bus, yo, Jerome represented for us because he would get in the hole, pause, and he would dance on cats, but it was cool because he was so fast and swift, he would shake up
getting in the hole a pause? Don't you live your life to get in the hole?
No, not anymore, brother. I live my life for Christ.
Remember he played for the Rams?
And he would take off, yo, he would skate on you. And so you wouldn't even realize, yo, dude was like 255, never pushed away from the dinner table, ate what he wanted, had a sloppy doo-doo body, but ran like a 4.3. Yo,
because
he was my
you know
man.
Why?
I love the book.
Because he's a man. He's 40.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yo, shout out to Jerome Bettis. Yo, I got one more birthday real quick, and that's Amon Rashad Green. Amon Green turns 35 today.
My birthday. Yay. Oh.
Dev, I'm going to start with you. When I say Amon Green, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Fumble Rooski. And I remember this dude went on TV in an interview and actually gave the excuse that he had a sweat gland problem in his forearm, and that is the reason why he fumbled all the time. So he started wearing these little rubber sleeves. Yo, I can't even say no more. Sweat glands in your forearms, man? Hold on to the ball.
Coward. Yo, man. Anyway. Kill.
Yo, well, man. We don't believe you. You need more people.
I mean, Green Bay Packers used to fumble a lot. He's actually named after Ahmad Rashad, but I guess they left off the D, so they called him Amon Rashad. And he got cut from a CFL team for failing a physical in June 2011. So he was trying to make his comeback, but he just kind of faded away into Bolivia.
Was the physical fail due to his sweat gland? All right, well, let's leave it off with this. Hot Pot Commander, what you got to say?
Yo, it's sad, man, how fumbling can and fumbling and bad PR can ruin a career and take the light off of the good things, because dude actually put up great numbers and was one of the better backs in the league, sans the fumbling. And we all know, most of us agree, that fumbling on a habitual basis is one of the more cowardly acts that you can participate in your life. If you're a fumbler, you're a coward. So, Amon, you're a talented coward.
That's kind of like saying, like, of a boxer. He's a hell of a boxer, but he just happens to get knocked out all the time. Before he gets knocked out, you know, he puts up a good fight.
Like, he's nice, but he can't stay away from that left hook. Like, what?
Yeah, so... Shout out to him on his birthday anyway. Dev, take it over, man. Let everybody know what happened while they were on the grind.
Fumbler. All right, the While You're on the Grind segment is brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. Go to our website, to our sponsors page. Click on their logo, and you can see their whole catalog of wheels and tires on that website. Fellas, did you hear about the four TCU players arrested on drug charges? Now, that's actually 17 TCU students were arrested. Four of them just happened to be on the football team, and they were busted. They had a little marijuana ring going on the campus. I mean, they were after them for a while. I mean, they actually sold drugs to an officer because they got set up. What's up with TCU? Hill, you familiar with the Texas area? I mean, what's going on with the student body down there? You got no money?
It's crazy because, you know, I'm sure any law enforcement could go into any college campus sports team and find usage of extracurricular paraphernalia and substances. So it's just kind of like, okay, let's just get these guys now.
Hold on. Kill smokes. Plead the fifth. Don't incriminate
you. I got the names here. I'm not even going to read the names. I'll leave that to all the other media outlets. I feel like I'm dry snitching if I say the names, even though
I got one thing to say. Thank God there aren't any great HBCU football teams, because if that was the case, no.
Half the campus of Morgan State, I'm going to throw them under the bus.
Matter of fact, let's just throw Hampton under the bus. We just going to talk greasy about Hampton.
At the campus of Hampton University was arrested today.
As a former HBCU Division I athlete, I just plead the fifth, and I don't want to say anything about this article.
Let's move on, man. Let's move on, man.
Ron Jaworski is leaving the Monday Night Football booth. So actually next year they're not going to replace him. He's not leaving ESPN. He just signed a 5-year extension with ESPN. But he's leaving the booth. So next year they're just going to keep it Mike Tirico and John Gruden. Do you guys think this makes the booth worse or it makes it better?
You know the answer to the question before you ask. And I think the judge just got tired of John Gruden's lifestyle. I mean, his lifestyle was showing up in the broadcast, and that's just not what Jaws was about.
Yeah, John Gruden has a particular style of broadcasting that we like to call fellation style of broadcasting, where, you know, he finds quarterbacks that he enjoys as quarterbacks, and he proceeds the entire game to give them – never mind.
Is it that he enjoys them as quarterbacks or he enjoys them as fellation subjects?
This is supposed to be about Jaws, though, B.
I think it makes it worse. I mean, you know, because Jaws is he's the analyst of all analysts. He's the X and O guy. I mean, and I guess his style, like he goes so deep into the X's and O's. Maybe you don't need that on the broadcast. I mean, maybe he's up there doing a little too much teaching, and he probably realizes that he does all of his homework and, you know, says all this intelligent stuff, and then John Gruden could just say something quick and stupid, and everybody laughs at it. So, I mean.
Man, I went in the locker room one time, and I saw Brett Favre in his underwear, man.
And he takes all the attention away from the rest of the booth.
What an experience.
Yeah, I think it's cool for Jaws that he can go back into the studio and just be an analyst, you know.
Yeah,
as far as
yeah,
going to do with the booth, I mean, it's not going to be any different. You know, you're going to get the same stuff. Mike Tirico is really good at what he does, even though he keeps it a little too politically correct sometimes. He's afraid to say anything negative about anybody. But, you know, and then you got Gruden. So it's going to be a slurp fest in the booth next
Mike
year.
Mike Tirico needs to cut that remaining hair off of his head. He looks like a damn fool.
He got a baby Brian.
No doubt.
Yeah, you just let it go.
You got any thoughts on Jaws leaving, Kyle?
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know, man. Like, John Gruden, I feel like he needs to go somewhere or do something else. Like, maybe they should keep him on the field, let him be an on-field correspondent or something. But, you know, it gets to the point, like you said, you'd rather listen to the game on mute or listening to the radio play of the game as opposed to listening to Gruden.
Yeah. All right, so did y'all hear about the Valentine's Day game at Staples Center? Vanessa was there to cheer on Kobe. They had their little obligatory kiss in the hallway that they usually have with the kids there. I don't know if the kids were there this time. So, you know, the rumors were that, you know, maybe it's cheaper to keep her. But, you know, the reports that I saw today from the Los Angeles Times was telling everybody, whoa, slow down for a minute. The divorce proceedings are still going on. So what do you guys think that was all about? You think that the divorce might be over or?
No, I definitely think it's cheaper to keep her. And what people have to understand is when you're splitting up $150 million in assets, to put the brakes on that doesn't happen overnight. So they probably are reconciling and putting it back together. But they can't just take all of the paperwork that's been filed, all of the man hours on the attorneys, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then turn it around.
That's what I was thinking when I read the LA Times article, because it was just 2 days ago when they were in the hallway kissing. Of course the paperwork is still, you know, filed. Like, so, I mean, we'll see where it goes, not that I care.
It's sort of like my brother once told me. He said a good woman is like a parking spot. All the good ones are taken and the rest are handicapped. So,
oh my God.
I guess Kobe, you know, figured he might as well try to reconcile with his BM, keep that bread.
Yeah. You know, he was giving her over $18 million worth of property, so it's cheaper to keep her. It's cheaper to keep her. All right. We got a update on the whole, if you're a 76ers fan, we got an update on the whole mascot situation. The whole Big Shot situation. As you guys know, we had a petition going to bring back Big Shot. And earlier in the week, Sixers CEO Adam Aaron went to Twitter and asked fans about the idea of bringing Big Shot back. He said, "Been a surprising groundswell for Big Shot. Do you want Big Shot back, yes or no?" And shout out to the YouWishYouKnew.com. That's a Philly sports website. And they actually cited our petition, our joint petition with the Broad Street Line, when they were writing about what Adam said. So we know for a fact that the Sixers CEO has seen the petition. So we're just going to go ahead and take all the credit for, you know, for it looking like Big Shot probably coming back to the city of Philadelphia.
We don't know
if it was all us, but we're just going to go ahead and say it was all us.
It was.
Yo, and I also want to give a shout out to Adam Aaron because he actually listens to the fans. Like, he responds to people on Twitter. I see him at the games all the time, and he's like very engaging. And I just hope that he keeps this up because remember, this is his first year as an owner. So
I'm gonna see how much he listens. I'm gonna see how much he listens. Now I'm gonna tweet him some trade requests.
Yo, also, I don't know if you guys heard this, but. They went to Hershey, PA, and they actually purchased the floor that Wilt allegedly scored us 100 points on.
Yeah,
and
they're going to give some out to the fans.
Yeah, March 2nd at the Golden State Warriors game, yo. And I will be in the house to get my piece of the floor. What I'm going to do with it, I don't know.
I need to get my floor piece,
you know,
too, man.
I still question whether Wilt existed because his numbers are too great that I don't think he really
20,
existed. But, if he did, I want a piece of the floor. Go ahead, Austin. What'd you say?
I said, it's funny that he brings Wilt up. Which would you rather have, a piece of the floor or a piece of the bed? Never mind.
Pause that.
Serious question, though. Is that how he got the nickname the Big Dipper?
Yo, I don't know. But Jimmy, seriously, who's to know that they ain't just go get the old floor from Roman Catholic before they renovated the gym or something?
Bro, you ain't never lie. You probably got the floor right at Home Depot.
That's the old pre-1994 Central High School gym floor. Like, come on. Stop lying. All right, so this last thing, we just want to give a shout-out. You know, we did a little bit with our Super Bowl rendition of the national anthem. We just want to give a RIP shout out to Whitney Houston.
Crack is wet.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I got. So anybody else got something on that real quick?
Yo,
we move on?
Hugs, not drugs.
Yeah, make love, not war. All right, so that's what happened, everybody.
Smoke, don't
choke.
We're
on the grind.
Yo, it's time to pass the rock. The Pass the Rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. For more information on Bay Financial Services, go to our website, warrensports.com. And I see a lot of y'all out there, Jackson Hewitt, balling, dancing in the street. So before you spend all your money, hit up Bay Financial Services. Anyway, for those who don't know what Pass the Rock is, that's on you. So I'm going to end down the rock to my brother, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
I'm not mad at all. I just want to know, which is more impressive, Wilt's scoring or Wilt's scoring? you let us know. And if you don't understand, shame on you. I'm going to pass the rock to who's open. Who's open? Come on.
I got that. This is Devin, everybody. I just want to address the New York Knicks fans who are claiming that the team no longer needs Melo due to the success of Jeremy Lin. Slow down, Kemosabe. Much props to Jeremy Lin because he is absolutely balling. However, wins over Jersey, Utah, Washington, Minnesota, Toronto, and Sacramento doesn't exactly scream, Superman's in the building, now we can get rid of our $18.5 million superstar. And yeah, they beat the Lakers too, who were currently the seventh seed of the West at the time they beat him. So congratulations for that. But stop being stupid, Knicks fans. Any other fans buying into that ridiculous notion, you should go kill yourself too. First, the whole city begged for the organization to make Melo a Knick. Now a winning streak over the bottom-feeding garbage cans of the league has the same fans begging for him to remain injured. Cut it out. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man Jimmy.
Yeah, man, they tripping, you know. He had two good weeks, and now they're trying to get him in the All-Star game.
they found a spot for him in the weekend. He's going to be in the higher shooting stars.
You want to impress me, put him in the dunk contest. At any rate.
He in that too.
He is. As a matter of fact, as an assist man, right?
Yeah, he's going to assist Shumpert.
FOH.
Shumpert,
what's
who
up,
bailed him out the other night from Calderon tearing him a new one. But go ahead, my bad.
This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. I did Nene with my father's features. And this week, I'll be very brief, but I want to say a few words about Crew Sick. For those who don't know who Crew Sick is, they are Allen Iverson's crew that came to Philly with him, traveled the city and beyond. Some call them a crew, some call them leeches, and some call them his family. Right now, all that is irrelevant. After hearing about the current financial issues that Bubba Chuck is having, I wonder where Crew Sick was. And how come I never see anyone there when I see AI struggling at this point? Is it because the money is gone? I mean, this was AI's quit, and they claim to be rugged. So when one falls, the rest are supposed to be each other's crutches, right? I mean, it doesn't look that way these days. AI is struggling, and that is unconscionable considering he went through more money than Kim.com. One of you cats should have put AI's handouts to good use and should be there right now when he needs you the most. Maybe you are there, and maybe the media is just making it look like AI is alone and is going through all these terrible times himself. But if it is a fact that you aren't there, you should be ashamed of yourself. and all of you should be tossed in a pit of unfortunate. I hope someone will learn from AI's mistakes, and because of his story, they don't go down that same path. But in the words of my brother PJ, this is just another tale of egregious hood richness. And something tells me that this won't be the last athlete to have an entourage that appears to be gone when the money is. And FYI, the world is rooting for AI's win, so shout out to the homie Bubba Chuck, and I'm nice. And with that, I see my man Kill Bayon. So I'm just going to hand you the rock and let you finish it off, good brother. No skipping.
Good evening, War Room World. That's pretty amazing how AI can't get a run, and guys like Anthony Carter are still bringing the ball up the court. But I would like to take the time to talk about the smartest backcourt in the history of the NBA. That backcourt, you may be wondering, is none other than the backcourt of the New York Knicks. Now, we have all been inundated with all of the media attention surrounding Jeremy Lin, who came from obscurity or from Bolivian, as Mike Tyson would say, to superstardom in a manner of seven NBA games. What has been highlighted about Jeremy Lin is the fact that he is a graduate of Harvard University with a degree in economics. It seems as if he was well on his way to work on Wall Street, become an economics professor, work for the Federal Reserve Bank, or become a consultant. Jeremy Lin's starting backcourt mate, who was also in his second year in the NBA, is Landry Fields, who happens to be a graduate of Stanford University with a communications degree. If we look through the history of the NBA, I do not think we can find a backcourt to hail from such highly rated Tier 1 academic institutions. It seems that the collective IQ of the Knicks backcourt has translated to success on the court with their seven-game winning streak. On the economic side of things, Jeremy Lin's recent success has caused the New York Knicks internet sales to increase by 3,000%, and he is sure to get a raise on his $700,000 annual salary when he becomes a free agent at the end of the season. I have found irony in the fact that Harvard has been ranked in the top 25 college basketball polls all season, and I wonder how much Harvard basketball coach Tommy Amaker used the fact that a former Harvard basketball player made it to the NBA the last 2 years while he was on the recruiting trail. It seems that the basketball talent pool at Harvard has increased significantly and may be a force to be reckoned with for a while, the same way University of Pennsylvania and Princeton University have done in the past. And with that, I'm done. I will take the pass from Jimmy, a.k.a. the Blueprint, on the right wing and shot fake at the three-point line, jab right and watch a defender lean right, and then sweep through left and drive to the lane as I see the help defender at the elbow. I dribble between my legs, left to right, and then behind my back, right to left, watch the defender reach and stumble, and then I pull up for a 13-footer that touches nothing but twine.
And the crowd goes wild. So I can't be getting dudes with dribble moves because he have them all in his head already, visualizing them. All right, everybody, real quick, this is how you can get in touch with us. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app to your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so raise your hand, and we might just call on you. Boom.
Yes, sir. You ready to get in some football talk?
Yes, sir.
Boom, bat.
No doubt. All right. Well, first off, let's talk to NFL. But this NFL talk was brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can listen to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done. Now, our link will actually give you a free trial and a free book, so it doesn't cost you anything to check it out, audibletrial.com/warroomsports. I actually swear by Audible because I like to consider myself well-read, although I listen to books. At any rate, the Super Bowl is over, but we still got some football to talk about. And before I get into that, I just want to send a quick shout-out to the homie Ezra from Idiot Sports Talk. I see you in the chat room, homie. Thanks for the support. Anyway, Roddy White tweets about Roger Goodell's salary. Now, Roddy White has some serious issues with the commissioner because he's always going at his neck. What do you guys think about questioning the commissioner's salary?
I got the tweets, and if anybody doesn't know, once the end of Roger Goodell's contract comes around, his salary would basically equal out to $20 million per season. So Roddy White tweets, how in the hell can you pay a man this much money that can't run, tackle, or catch? And then he said, Roger Goodell is getting over, never seen anything like it, $20 million for looking over the league with tremendous help. I guess the NFL is banking. Okay. First thing about him saying that can't $20 million to somebody who can't run, tackle, or catch. Okay, when did those become the life skills that are the most valuable in this world? First of all, you sound a little stupid right there.
Yeah,
but,
his owner of the team that cuts his check can't run, tackle, or catch either. Not to my knowledge.
it really doesn't make sense to me. I mean, and a lot of people defend this kind
of
stuff, but like I said, I think everybody in America has that employee mentality. And you don't realize to be the boss, you know, that's perks that comes with being the boss. I make more money than you. It's nothing to that. It's been like that the whole time. Like, the guy, the CEO of GE can't go into the factory and make a jet engine, but
that's
he's still
true.
Making way more money than everybody who's out there making jet engines. That's just how it goes.
I don't
get it.
And the NFL is a $9 billion organization. So a $20 million salary is sort of commensurate with what most heads of $9 billion organizations make if you kind of take a survey.
Not only that, I mean, the Falcons have other issues for him to be worrying about what the commissioner's salary is. I saw you guys in the playoffs. I mean, you need to be talking to your quarterback who needs to be working on getting his 10,000 hours in practicing his position as opposed to coming at Roger Goodell's salary because – you got some other issues. Why are you worried about this when you should be worried about your own team?
Yo, I wonder why. It seems like of all the sports, Roger Goodell, like more players take shots at him than like any other any other commissioner in sports. Doesn't it seem like that?
Yeah, probably because Roger Goodell came in.
It's deserved.
Yeah, I mean, he came in and did a lot of stuff that, you know, if you play in the league, you probably think that he was, you know, kind of a dictator. But, you know, he came in, he saw problems, and he thinks he's doing what he needs to do.
He fixed them the best way he knows how.
I don't always agree with how Roger Goodell does things, but, you know, I'm also not going to question his salary. Like Austin said, this dude directs a $9 billion industry. Like, what is he supposed to make? I just don't get it. Do the math, Roddy. I know you went to college at least for a little while.
He makes less than 1% of the revenue. Like 1% would be $90 million. He doesn't even make that, so that's not.
Hey, speaking of brightness, I went online and I actually took a Wonderlic test. I took a sample Wonderlic test, and you know, my score was somewhere in the 40s, and I was like, wow, for cats to score like 12 and 6 and 9, like I advise everybody listening, just go take one, you know, sample of 12 questions.
Then you'll know how dumb some of these cats really are.
Yo, I mean, it's like, wow, like really, you know what I mean? I'm talking about like fifth grade, like educational level type stuff.
Wonder dicks.
Yo, the thing is, I've like, you know, come in contact and talking to some professional athletes from various sports, and I see why. I mean, then again, like just in general, like just walking the earth, so to speak, people just aren't that bright anyway. But that's
the collective, as I always say, the collective IQ gets closer and closer to zero. The more people you have, the dumber
listen,
the group.
Listen, man, it's basic regression to the mean. Anyway, we're going to get to that another day.
Ah, jeez.
Let's just move on right now.
You saying lemmings over the cliff?
Hey, yo, by the way, McNabb's was like 16. I think McNabb's was like 16.
Not a surprise.
Yeah.
No shocker here.
I find it hilarious how we've been on the air for over a year and, you know, going on 2 years at this point. And
every show.
McNabb takes more slander than any athlete ever. He's like, what is he out of this?
It's a lot, D-I-E, to the casket drops, homie.
It's not even football season, and we take a shot to McNabb. Anyway, let's talk about one Randy G. Moss. He sent out a tweet.
Great cash, homie.
To his mentor, Chris Carter. After Carter's comments on Mike and Mike, you know, Dev, you got the tweet?
Yeah, and I happened to – were y'all listening to Mike and Mike that day?
I heard it,
yeah.
And I also – because,
you know, Randy
Twitter
wants to come out of retirement. So Chris Carter was on there basically slurping Randy to no end. But at the end of his slurp fest, he basically said, but there's one thing about Randy. The one thing that you have to address with Randy Moss is not a conditioning thing. It's not an age thing. I believe it's the elephant in the room. It's called quit. He said, Randy, when things don't go well, like no other player I've seen around or associated with, he has a quit mechanism in him that's huge. That needs to be addressed before he signs with any team. And we should have just got the clip and we could have just played it. So Randy Moss went to Twitter later on that day and said, at Chris Carter 80, it's sad how you stroked your own ego when you were supposed to be my mentor. Then you wonder why karma bites you in the ass. Hashtag good luck with Hall of Fame. Damn! Yo, he went at his neck. All right, this is...
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think about it? Kill, what do you think? Because I know we spoke about it earlier this week.
Well, after understanding that Randy Moss's Wonderlic score was 12, by the way, I realized that he didn't realize that he said, I play when I want to play, which is basically the equivalent of saying, you know, I quit sometimes and sometimes I play when I feel like I need to play. But therefore, his Wonderlic score did not allow him to be able to make that connection, and he feels as if Chris Carter was hating.
He's killing him by the Wonderlic
score. It's funny because I understand where he's coming from, but at the same time, when you make statements such as, I play when I want to, it's like at that point, that's like telling me that you dumbed down your lyrics to double your dollars. It's like after you say something that's stupid like that, then you have to take what comes with that. You said it yourself.
Yeah.
There's a basic understanding that the principles of, I was going to say America, but just sports globally, there's certain tenets, certain principles. Never quit. Never give up. Root for the underdog. Work really, 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 really hard. I was listening to Antonio Pierce and Marcellus Wiley, and they both said something that was pretty similar. And these are guys that, you know, were kind of mediocre in the middle of the pack, but still could be considered superior athletes considering they played in the NFL. They said there are guys like Randy Moss who are just so talented and damn near inhuman that they really do not have to work to be as great as they are. And that's just the reality, but as they age in their career, some of these tenets and principles that people hold dear in terms of sports, they don't understand them because it hasn't been a reality of their sporting experience. So as they come back down to earth, they're going to get this criticism. They're going to hear these because now people are seeing them falling from grace and they realize that they don't work that hard and they haven't established that work ethic. So that's kind of where I think Randy Moss is.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, what do you guys think about his possibilities of coming back?
Oh, he's got calls from three teams already. Randy Moss, the difference between Randy and T.O., T.O. is 38, coming off a serious injury. Randy Moss didn't hurt anything but his pride. I mean, Randy Moss, if he came back today with a tough work ethic, is still a top 10, maybe top 5 receiver. in the league.
You really believe that?
Yes, I do. And remember, I take T.O. over Randy Moss. But talent-wise and skill-wise, yo,
Here's my question. I'm not saying this to be fact or even that I believe this, but to me, Randy's greatest asset was his speed. If he's off any step, I don't know how he can really help anybody. He doesn't run routes well. He doesn't go across the middle. He does one thing.
He takes the top off your defense.
So I would want to see just how much he had left in terms of speed, and then you know, in terms of doing what he does. He's the best at what he does, but he's one dimensional. Let's face it. That's just my personal opinion. So, Kill, you got any thoughts on
this? He has tremendous hands. Too.
Well, yeah, like Brad said, he definitely, he has great hands. He has better hands than T.O., but like you said, T.O., I think, can play at a higher level than Moss at this point. But what's going to be interesting is, okay, Moss is retired but doesn't want to be. T.O. is retired but doesn't want to be. But now I think the Patriots might let Chad Ochocinco Johnson go. So you're going to have three receivers in their 30s who I think are still highly capable, but a team may not sign them. But do you think a team should maybe go out on a limb and sign all three of them and maybe have possibly one of the best receiver cores in the league?
if you want to get attention for your team, you could do something like that. You take one of the worst teams in the league and have them sign all three. That would kind of be hilarious. But, yo, let's move on from this. Let's talk about Peyton Manning, Brad's favorite quarterback. There's rumors how he would either be going to the Redskins or the Texans, and Matt Schaub gets no respect. But how do you think he would fit in with either one of the teams? Talk about each team, the Texans or the Redskins. Just be brief and let me know how you think he would fit in each system.
I don't really see him. I don't see what the meaning is for him to go to the Redskins, because I'm thinking, you know, if he wants to leave, you know, you want to go somewhere where you know you have a chance to win right away, because – you know, he doesn't know how long his career is going to be. One, because of the injury, and two, because of, you know, Father Time. It's almost time to hang him up. And, you know, that's not a diss to the Redskins, but I just don't see how that would work out. Now, when I originally heard those reports, I also heard people talking about the fact that a lot of his weapons are free agents. He would be interested in bringing guys like Reggie Wayne along to the Redskins with him. And, you know, with the situation they have at the line of scrimmage, I'm still not sure if that would work. You know, you have to bring your whole squad, Saturday and all them dudes. And I think Saturday's names came up as well. But as far as the Texans go.
Saturday talked about retiring.
Yeah, as far as the Texans go, I think that would be a great fit with that defense, with the offensive line and the running back they have. But like you said before, I'm like, are they just going to disrespect Matt Schaub like that? Because I'm thinking if you do that, you can't just put him on a bench. You have to get rid of him. So
yeah,
basically,
if
the Texans were to pick up Peyton Manning, they're basically saying that they're comfortable with T.J. Yates being the future. And if that's the case, then, you know, and if Peyton's healthy, then go ahead and do it and try to chase a chip real quick. And when he leaves or gets injured, you know, put T.J. Yates and as your quarterback
man
in the future, but I don't know. That would be a great fit.
Bone spurs in his neck.
I gotta agree with you, Dev. There's no way in HE double hockey stick he's going to the Redskins because they don't have any tools They don't have any tools for him to work with, and he's already coming from that situation. The Texans make perfect sense. They have a good to very good defense, and they have tremendous weapons in terms of the skill players. So that makes more sense. They've also talked about him to Miami as well.
Listen to this. If he went to the Texans by midseason, him and Andre Johnson could rehab together. Both be hurt. But let me ask you guys a question. Let me throw two more teams out there in our chat room.
Well, I mean, until the next thing, Peyton never got hurt. So,
I
mean, I
know.
But
it is sports talk. They're in the chat room. They want to bring up two more teams. It's the 49ers, and he's a Jets fan, so he's saying also the Jets.
What about the Jets?
He's the Jets.
Well, no, I mean, well, we were just naming teams where we actually heard reports that they were, you know, these other teams are just rumored because everybody thinks he's a great fit there. These two teams, the Texans and the Redskins.
If I asked you to give me one team,
yeah,
what would be the best fit for him?
A week ago, he was going to the Redskins, and then 3 days ago, he was going to the Texans. Like, but
if you were a GM, you had to pick one team that you could put him on. Just one team. What team would it be?
The Eagles.
I know, right? But I didn't know that the Texans were a player. If they're a player, then I'd put them on the Texans. Before I knew the Texans were a player, I would have put them on the Jets.
Okay, listen to this. Forget who's a player and who's not a player. Let's just say I give you all the teams in the entire league. What do you think makes the most sense in terms of fitting in?
Tennessee. I put him in Tennessee just because of the whole him being at Tennessee and all of that, and Tennessee kind of needing a quarterback, you know, a Hasselback.
Austin, what you say?
I think
it's kind of a tie between the Jets and the Texans because the Jets don't have a quarterback.
All right,
49ers, Jets, and Texans. I would say
give me one team. Give me two.
I would say the Texans. I would say the Texans.
Now, Rand, our chat with
Manny.
He says he thinks he can fit in with the Eagles. Under Andy Reid running the West Coast?
What was Peyton's offense called? Like, what was it like? It really wasn't a West. Yeah, like, what was it as a comparison
Manning,
to the West Coast?
The Manning
and vertical and spread. You know what I mean?
The Manning family win?
Manning family wing.
you don't take him or put him in a situation where the offensive coordinator isn't willing to sit down, drink lemonade, and just get a check.
Yeah.
And some teams, you know, the offensive coordinator and the head coach have a lot more to do with the game management and the play calling. And so that may even be an adjustment for Peyton. I don't know.
I was going to say, it seemed like a lot of times it seems like through the years his offense was kind of reminiscent of the old 90s Cowboys under North Turner, but then with a mixture of some of the 49ers West Coast mixed in.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let me ask you a question in terms of this surgery. What do you guys think about this whole beef with him and Irsay going on? Who do you think is winning the PR battle, for one?
Irsay is a coward.
I know you're going to take that because you're a Peyton fan, but what did Irsay say that was wrong?
No, seriously, being totally objective, what he said that was wrong was the fact that he's going to try to put it in Peyton's – he's trying to put the ball in Peyton's court now. Yeah, we'd love to have Peyton back if he wants to come. But that the decision is not up to Peyton. The decision is whether you want to pay Peyton Manning $28 million. Now, I'm assuming what he's saying, the decision's up to him. You know, if he makes that decision that he wants to be there, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some negotiation to try to change, you know, what it is
contract
that they're paying
structure.
Him on March 8th.
Right.
So if he's saying Peyton can choose and he's still getting that money, then – hey, then there's nothing wrong with what he's saying. But I think he's just trying to put the ball in his court because they're playing this media game against each other now. So.
Irsay was quoted talking Big Willie, saying that about a month ago, there's no problem. We can sign Luck and still afford to pay Peyton what we negotiate. It's not a problem. We want them both, or we can afford them both. And that was – so if you've taken that stance in that position, then what's all to talk for?
Well, I mean, we don't believe you. You need more people.
I mean, my whole thing is I understand what you guys are saying, but at the end of the day, look, there's no good way for this to go down, regardless of who's right or who's wrong. You know, when you break up with somebody, it's difficult, and that's what's happening right now. And then. With that being said, he paid this man like what did he pay him last year? $28 million to rehab? Yeah. I'm looking at that too. I'm looking at what
when you look at Irsay's pop and how his pop rolled out of Baltimore and said we're absolutely not leaving and then in the middle of the night rolled out, it's a standard in his family to double talk.
Yo, I think what Irsay is doing, Irsay is looking at the potential media bashing and him, you know, living in Indianapolis if it goes out of history that he was the one that got rid of Peyton Manning. So he's throwing all of this stuff out there knowing that Peyton wants to go after Ursae fired everybody basically around him. So Ursae, he's being very tactical about the situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but at the same time, you can't blame him. You are the sins of his father you're putting on him too. I mean, look, this dude
I'm just saying his role model and his example.
He has a
I'm
business.
I'm not surprised. Right,
you
but business doesn't equate to double talking. There are people that run their business straight up, stand up. Yo, listen, Peyton, peep game. I can't pay you 28. Let's keep it moving.
No, I already said it 3 weeks ago. I'm not paying. I'm not paying the ball $28 million, and I'm not even sure if he can play or not. I just can't do it.
Yo, and even beyond that, you got to look at the fact that this dude ducked out on a physical to get the $28 million. He did him greedy, too, so let's not act like it's just one person in the wrong here. Peyton's a fraud as well. But anyway.
I don't see how that. Peyton, I really don't see how that's fraudulent.
You don't see how it's fraudulent? You know you can't play before you take this man's dough.
No, I don't know that I can't. I don't know that I have a permanent career-ending injury. I mean, Peyton, for all we know, there's two ways that this could go. He could never play again, or he could come back and be all-world as he's always been.
Yeah. Of course, you're going to side on the side that makes Peyton
look. Jimmy. So we're saying that there's no potential for him to recover and get back to what he was. Is that what we're saying?
First off, if you want to get to that, what he was is overrated. So it doesn't even matter if he does get back to
okay,
that.
Even if it's overrated, we're not saying whether he wasn't overrated or underrated. Was he great? Is he good?
He's not worth $28 million.
Healthy?
No.
Then that was a bad decision by Ursae, and he shouldn't have made it to begin with, and now he's trying to recant.
I agree with that. That definitely was a bad decision to give that old man who, is a true guard that much money.
Okay, but he already did that now. So, what?
So you're saying, are you saying that nobody's worth that, or just Peyton's not worth $28 million?
Well, see, let me see. If I had to give any, I mean, Eli may be worth this. Like, no. not to name one quarterback that I would pay that much to, it probably will be Brady, and that probably will be it, honestly, looking at the quarterbacks around the league.
But they were going back and forth. Like, when Brady would renew, he'd be number one. And then Peyton would renew, he'd be number one. Then Brady would renew. So it was kind of
going. Yeah, I get that. I get all that. You know, I get that. You know, it is what it is. But now you're stuck in a situation where you have the number one pick. And, you know, it's pretty much going to be you or Peyton. And I don't see anything wrong with what he's doing. I understand you think that it's double talk. But I'm looking at it from, like, a business standpoint. You got to do what you got to do.
I understand what you're saying, Austin, because if you got to do what you got to do, he would have made the decision like I already have. Like, if I was running the Colts and I'm a Peyton Manning stan, but business is business. Like, I can just say I'm not going to pay you. I don't have to sit here and play this media game with you. I mean, I think both of them owe each other a little more respect than to keep playing this out in the media. If you don't want to sign Peyton Manning, let them know that the price is too hefty right now. We don't know. You had a fourth surgery that nobody even knew about. So I definitely can't give you that kind of money. I don't think you have to go into the media and say, of course we'll welcome him back. You know, it's up to Peyton Manning. Like, it's not up to Peyton Manning. You write the checks. Like, how are you going to give him the decision to make? You write the checks. So, you know, I'm not defending it just because it's against Peyton, because I already told y'all, if it was me, I would have let the dude move on and go find a team, because I'm not paying him $28 million plus whatever his base salary is going to be for me not to be sure if you're going to be on the field. I already wasted all that money on you this year, and you never played a game. We didn't IR you. I mean, it's a funny situation. And, you know, you write the checks. You wear the big boy pants. Make the decision.
Now, Brandon, our chat room says, he said Peyton should just leave in the middle of the night.
My neck, my back, my neck and my back. Oh!
I'm not sure. I guess we can just move on until our guests come on the line. He's not here yet. He's running a little bit late, so we can just keep on rapping until we. Do we want to stay on this? Do y'all want to?
Let's talk a little basketball real quick then. Until he comes on, let's talk a little basketball.
right.
Well, first off, of course you know what basketball is going to have to start with. We're going to have to start
with LeBron. Well, look.
Before we get into that, let me let you know that this NBA segment is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen, or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. All right, NBA, fellas. The NBA Players of the Week, and this is a crazy one, Russell Westbrook from the Oklahoma City Thunder and Jeremy Lin of your New York Knicks. Russell Westbrook, he helped the Thunder to a 3-1 week, averaging 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5.3 assists, and 2.5 steals. Jeremy Lin, the newest NBA sensation, he led the Knicks to a 4-0 week, averaging 27.3, 8.3 assists, and 2 steals. And his 109 points over his first four career starts, as you probably heard 60 million times, are the most by any player since the 76-77 season. So Lin's sanity is in full effect, fellas.
Yeah,
so let's discuss the phenomenon known as Jeremy Lin real quick. Let's talk about this streak that the Knicks are on. I kind of alluded to it earlier. You know, they've been playing teams like, besides the Lakers, they've been playing teams like Sacramento, Toronto, Jersey, Minnesota, you know, teams like that. So first, not really about Jeremy Lin, but are y'all impressed with the Knicks' 7-game winning streak?
I'll go first real quick, Dev. I just want to say, before we even get into that, yo, shout out to Russell Westbrook, because those numbers you just read out are crazy. That looks like a...
And this is like the second, third time he's won it in a condensed season.
Yeah, yeah. And shout out to Willie Garden. I see him on the line. That looks like the numbers I put up on Willie Garden when we play in 2K. But back to Linsanity. I just want to say that, you know, this is very exciting to watch. But at the same time, let's be patient and see what comes about when the team is in full strength. Now, in terms of him beating up on bad teams, I don't knock him for that because 98% of the league is bad teams, and on the night in and night out basis, that's who you're going to be playing.
Oh, no, but Jim, when I say that, I'm not talking about him. I'm one of those people that think, like, now when it comes down to an individual player, like, I hate when people say, well, it was only against the such and such. No, I'm not saying that. Averaging damn near 30 a game in the NBA is averaging 30 a game. I'm just talking about
regardless
the Knicks as a whole beating up on
the bad teams.
Jeremy Lin, what he did to me is impressive because last week Jeremy Lin was, you know, at the end of the bench about to get cut, sleeping on people's couches. So for him to just jump up and score and average 27 a game over any stretch, that's impressive in itself. So I'm not talking about him when I say beating up on bad teams because bad teams have good point guards. Darren Williams, John Wall, all of those dudes got a little bit of that action. So,
you talking about the team success?
Yeah, I'm talking about the team.
Because I look at it, though, it's funny because I look at it like even when you watch the Sixers play, it's like when you play these bad teams, you got
to
get your wins.
Yeah.
Because
if
you go through the season and you never beat a good team, you still can be one of the top three seeds in your conference just by beating on bad teams.
The Patriots did that this year.
I remember back in the day when the Niners used to play in a division when the Rams stunk and it was like a Falcons stunk, their whole division stunk. They would be 8-0 before they played anybody like that was worth a damn. And even if you look at the Colts, when they played the Jaguars, the Texans.
The Patriots beat like – they might have only beat one team with a winning record or didn't beat anybody with a winning record, except for the playoffs, except for like the Ravens.
And got the number one seed. That's what I'm saying. Like, so like sports is so like watered down that – You gotta dominate these bad teams.
Those are great points. And just to even further that, if you think about the fact that before the season started, it was the Knicks are back, and then they get out of the gate and they stumble, and then you know they're discovering that Melo playing the point forward doesn't work, and Amare without a point guard to run pick and roll with doesn't work. And they were questioning whether the Knicks would be one of the bottom three teams in the league with how they were stumbling. So I think that winning against any NBA-level competition is good for their ego and morale and building of the team. So I don't knock, you know, them beating up on bad teams at all. And then I'm going to go with something that Kenny the Jet Smith said, and there is some truth to it. In the NBA, you can take the best team through the worst team. There really aren't many teams at all that have bad guard play. The bad teams in the league typically have bad big men, but you don't have bad teams. You can look at Sacramento Kings, for example, where they don't have bad big men either, but they're a bad team, but their guard play isn't bad. Or you look at the Warriors, their guard play is
athletic, and you know their guard play isn't smart. it's not smart, but it's
even the Wizards, the Bobcats have good guard play.
So Jeremy Lin, what Jeremy Lin is doing against quality NBA guards is very impressive. And as I look at it, it's kind of like because of his height. So he's got a couple things going for him. Because of his height, you know, he's able to see over the top of smaller guards. And his ability to run the pick and roll, it's kind of just like Steve Nash, just like Dev. If you go out on the court, you and Walt can pick and roll dudes to death, and you can barely walk anymore. But you still would win because that pick and roll, you can't beat that.
Yeah. That's true. Hey, I got a couple of things to share about Lin. His first seven games, he's averaged 24 points and 9 assists. First six starts, averaged 24 points and 10 assists. Now, mind you, everyone, Wilt Chamberlain or Kareem stats have not been counted in all these records that he's been breaking. Only player to score 20 points in his first five starts and go undefeated. Scored the most points in NBA history since the merger, first five starts. His point production improved each quarter in the first six games. So he's scoring twice as many points in the fourth quarter than he scores in the first quarter, and he is ranked fourth in the NBA in fourth quarter efficiency. Is he more clutch than you know who? He has the most turnovers of any player in NBA history in their first six starts with 36 turnovers, and he tied Walt Frazier and Michael Ray Richardson for consecutive 20 points and 7 assist games. Now, a little background, he was born in Silicon Valley next to Apple, Google, Facebook, Oracle, played ball at Palo Alto High School, the perennial powerhouse, Mater D, his senior year, and won the California Division II Player of the Year, but still did not get any D1 offers, and he said that he felt like it was racial. He was all Ivy second team and first team his last 3 years, and he gave buckets to UConn, Georgetown, and Boston College while at Harvard, and gave buckets to John Wall in the 2010 NBA Summer League. He also said when he went on the road in college, people would say, like, wonton soup or say, like, ting tong 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 tong, and, like, the fans would just really go at him real hard, and that would just kind of motivate him.
Damn, they was hitting him with the boom, dum 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 dum.
Yo, I like dudes, man. I'm a sucker for the underdog. I'm a sucker for the underdog, so I'm a fan.
Yeah. No, I'm a fan too. I find myself rooting for him to do well, but you know, of course, rooting for the Knicks to lose every minute of every game. But it hasn't happened yet. A few more nuggets of Lin's sanity. His number 17 jersey is the NBA's top online seller since February 4th. Knicks merchandise sales are number one overall in the NBA since Lin's breakthrough game. Five of the NBA's most 10 popular items are Knicks-related since Lin's sanity began. Lin's Chinese Wikipedia-style page has picked up 3.5 million hits. Microblog, that's like an Asian version of Twitter, they continue to use his name, and it's generated 73,500 messages. Model Sporting Goods in Midtown Manhattan can't keep Lin gear on the shelves. They went through multiple shipments of jerseys and T-shirts just this past weekend. The Knicks have taken advantage of Lin's sanity, raising the average ticket prices by 27% since he scored 25 points off the bench against Jersey. That's foul, considering they raised the prices in the beginning of the season anyway because they renovated the garden. And their fans are so hyped right now, they're just going to keep getting, I ain't going to say what they get.
Dappled. Also, Dev, are you
going to
MSG, hold up, I still, yeah, he's making like $800,000, and they just guaranteed it on Tuesday. The Knicks upcoming road, well, this was before they played Toronto. Toronto changed their prices for the Lynn game. Like, their cheap seats used to be $12.50. Their cheap seats for the Lynn game was $44. And Madison Square Garden stock has gone up 6.2% to $31.25 since the day before he started the Knicks on their five-game winning streak. Well, five games before Toronto and
I'm gonna say something. I'm gonna say something controversial though. As much of a fan of his as I am, and I think that ultimately, I think dude will have a successful, productive, and good NBA career. There's someone on their roster, when healthy, that should start over him.
Baron Davis.
Absolutely.
At this point,
Davis,
you know,
like
that there's
ago,
no way.
I don't know about this Baron Davis you saw last
year. Let me say this. I'm gonna, you know why I say
no
that?
No way they're going to let that happen.
Though, Jimmy?
They're making too much money off the dude.
No. It's not.
On top of the fact that he's balling.
But if you look at Baron Davis and you really analyze his game, Jimmy, and you know how much of a fan of Chauncey's I am, Baron Davis can lose his athleticism by 20% and probably be equal to what Chauncey is right now.
What?
Dude. Yeah.
You talking about Baron Davis from Golden State.
I think he's talking about athletically because Chauncey wasn't really banging on cats. So he's saying, like, Baron Davis losing athleticism, he'll have the same athleticism as Chauncey. Now, he might not have the shot as Chauncey.
Doesn't have Chauncey's shot, but he can get in the lane.
Since Baron Davis wanted to become Spike Lee, his game is gone.
I mean, he wasn't that terrible for the Clippers. He wasn't in shape. And when he was in the Cavs, he wants to play for the Cavs.
He wasn't better than Mo Williams, yo.
Mo Williams isn't as garbage as we make him out to be. We just don't
like him. I'm not saying he's garbage. Mo Williams is a solid player. But what I'm saying is, yo, Baron Davis knows, if he knows what's smart, he would stay injured.
All right, well, I guess that statement was controversial because I don't think anybody agree right now that Baron Davis would be a better option. There were some more controversial comments. We can get into this for a couple minutes. Floyd Mayweather tweeted, "Jeremy Lin is a good player, but all the hype is because he's Asian. Black players do what he does every night and don't get the same praise." So what do y'all think about those comments from Floyd Mayweather?
I think that heroes live a short and glorious life and cowards die a thousand deaths. So I think your man Pretty Girl Swear will die a thousand times and Jeremy Lin will live gloriously. Coward.
I mean, here's my thing. I'm going to take a different route. I don't see anything wrong with what he said. That's his opinion. I mean, the dude gave his opinion, and at the end of the day, they were talking about whether race was a factor on every sports show I watched. And my thing is, if race wasn't a factor, they wouldn't be bringing up the question of whether race was a factor.
But, Jimmy, it's different. I understand what you're saying, but it's different than the context that Floyd is using. He's not saying, look, race is definitely a factor because it's so amazing to everybody because he's Asian American. On top of that, you know what I'm saying, more fans are going to get involved because he's Asian American because he's going to have all of Yao supporters that put him in the All-Star. I guarantee you Jeremy Lin's going to start an All-Star game next year.
That's
the kind of race stuff that gets into it. Not that, oh, black players do the same thing and don't get no props, because that's BS. What black player do you know in the past decade who's averaged 27 points a game? I mean, I know it's over a short time, but who expected that from the Harvard dude at the end of the bench getting cut by everybody that don't even have his own place?
It's an underdog story.
Kobe averages 28 most years. Durant averages 28 most years. LeBron averages 28 most years. You telling me those dudes don't get hyped ungodly?
They do get hyped ungodly, but
So how are you saying that his point?
Because what I'm saying is he gave his opinion. I'm not I'm not saying he's right, but what I'm saying is...
disagree with his opinion. I don't care. I give my opinion all the time.
I get that. But I don't see what's controversial. Like, I understand because he is who he is. Everything he says is magnified. But at the end of the day, I mean, not that I agree with it, but I don't care if Joe Blow from the corner of the door is getting... A certain part of it is because he's Asian. I don't agree.
And at the same time, he felt that he didn't get the chances he deserved because he was Asian.
It's like, you know, two different. I agree.
My only thing is, I know that race plays a big part in this situation, but not in that context. He's crying for black players when it's not true. I've never seen a black player come off out of nowhere and score 28 points a game over a stretch and not get hyped. They even hyped Flip Murray when he scored 24 a game for Seattle. But the fact that he was in Seattle, I think the fact that he's in New York has a little more to do with the level of hype than just because of his
race.
You think that, first off, I agree that he's in New York, so it's overrated, as is most things in New York. But with that being said, I think that race still is a big part of this whole thing. But you're not talking about that. You're saying in terms of him crying for a black player.
In that context, though, you think that a black player doing this same thing wouldn't get this hype? I don't think it would be the same hype.
I don't think it would be the same hype. Our homie Mike Jordan
played for UPenn and, you know, had a little cup of coffee in the league and a couple of training camps. Now, if Mike just came from, you know, getting cut by three different teams, you know what I'm saying, can't find a place in the league. He's in the D League. He's playing in Germany or wherever he played. And he just comes off the bench all of a sudden because everybody on the team is hurt. And he averages 28 points a game for a week. You don't think he's going to get this kind of hype? Here's what I'm saying. Let me finish what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is, yes, it will be hype. But will the hype be exactly the same? I personally don't think so.
The numbers are going to get pumped because of his race. When I'm in the streets and I'm talking to people about sports,
the first thing they bring up is his race before they even talk about his numbers. They talk about his race before anything.
Jimmy, but what I'm asking you, is it in the context that Floyd is using? You're not saying anything that anyone disagrees with. We know that, but that's not the context that Floyd used it in. He's basically saying a black player doing the same thing wouldn't get hyped. And I don't agree with that. I agree with you.
Of course, the fact that he's Asian American is a big deal. But he wouldn't get the same hype.
You think he would get hype?
That's all I'm saying. I don't think he would get the same hype.
He said black players do this all the time and don't get hype. It's bull crap. What black player averaging 28 points a game through any stretch doesn't get hype? I see LeBron and Kobe and Durant on my television all the time, no matter what channel I'm watching. You can't tell me that's true.
Yes, you do. But at the same time,
so how is that true?
To me, there's different levels of hype. You can get a claim for being a great player.
Wait, hold on. Right, Jimmy, you just said there's different levels of hype. No one disagrees with that. That's not what Floyd said. Now we got to call it what it is. Since you defending your cowardly friend.
That's what I'm saying. I agree with what Jimmy's saying, but Jimmy doesn't realize. I agree with everything Jimmy's saying. I'm not agreeing. I just said I don't even know if I agree with him.
I just said that. So how am I defending him? I said I don't know if I agree with him. I said that faith plays a major part, and I said if he was black, the hype would not be the same. I never said I was defending what Floyd said.
But then, like, the hype not being the same, that's not what Floyd said.
If Tiger Woods was a white player, he wouldn't get the same acclaim. I agree with that as well. Race plays a part. We live in America. Race plays a part in everything. People can act like it doesn't.
We just said we agree.
I'm saying in general. His context was this.
His context was crying for black players. And there was no need for him to do that because of the black players I know that average 28 a game, I'm tired of seeing their damn face. So you can't tell me they don't get hype.
Let me ask you a question. How many black players in the league probably think the same exact thing but don't want to say it?
I don't know. They need to get out there and do what he's doing then. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of cheapening what the dude is doing to come out and say something.
I'm not saying he's not balling. I'm actually listening.
It's like, why is people from our race the only ones being sensitive, though? You don't hear white dudes coming out saying that. Like, why we got to be sensitive? Nobody said anything against us. Let the man
because,
have
it. Because, dude, we're sensitive.
Let me
we got 400 years of reasons why we're sensitive.
I think race plays a factor in the part that there is a whole contingent of the world and Asians that
and
are now interested that would not be interested, you know, if he were black, you know.
Exactly. The sheer number of people, of course, there's more of them than everybody else. So the sheer number of people, it's going to get crazy. The signs, you know what I'm saying, the people that's rooting for him in away arenas. But you can't blame the hype. I mean, just because we don't get hyped like that over stuff that our own people are doing, we can't get mad at that. But as far as what the media is doing and all of that, come on, man. They overhype dudes all the time, and we talk about it all the time. All
right, I got
it.
But
why is it
a
black dude that
got
to cry about something where nobody even came at us about anything?
Y'all remember Sunday out of games got hyped up? Sunday out of games got hyped up after he hit the game winner over, was it LeBron or somebody for the Jazz a couple years ago?
Yeah, Sebastian Telfair and LeBron James were on Sports Illustrated when they were like in the 10th grade. If that's not hype,
here's the thing, though.
And what did he do when he got
there? People said he was crying for black players, but they took one tweet. He had a whole stretch of tweets where he said other things, not just that. He said the same thing I'm saying. He said, all I'm saying is the hype is as high as it is because he's Asian. And then he brought up, he said, listen, they're talking about it on this station. And he just kept bringing the race factor up. But he wasn't crying for a black player, per se, when he said that. People take one, and I see this all the time, they take one tweet and run with it instead of looking at the stream of tweets that came before and after it. So the whole thing about him crying for a black player is not accurate to begin with.
But you know what? Therein lies context yet again, because Floyd is like kind of the race card cry wolf dude. So he makes a career out of inciting kind of racial stereotypes and racial angst in people. So if that's his shtick, if you will, yeah, he's played himself into a corner where they will take just one tweet because they know that's Floyd. He's the dude that comes out and demeans Mexican culture. I mean, he's that dude.
I mean, that's how
I don't care who said it.
Himself.
I don't care who said it, but the dude came out and averaged 28-8 over a week.
Nobody's
like,
talking about his game, though.
I
agree that he's balling out his mind. I'm actually rooting for this guy.
So I think the hype is deserved. Of course, in our society, we're always going to take the hype and take it to places where it shouldn't be. But, I mean, somebody just posted something on our Facebook page where Michael Jordan is, like, taking off a Jeremy Lin mask. So they're trying to say that, you know, he's Michael Jordan with a mask on. But, I mean, you know, the hype is going to get to that point. But, like you said, like Jimmy just said, nobody's talking about his game. I mean, I pretty much think he deserves to be talked about the way he's talking.
He deserves
about
the
like
hype
that.
For me. He deserves the hype.
Yo,
I'm
guys,
all
no,
it.
But the thing is, I'm totally not disrespecting his game. I think he's nice. I think the boy's nice. He's just putting up numbers. You can't deny his game. But the only point I was making is totally a factor. Like, I'm out on the streets talking sports every day. That's the first thing that comes up. People don't even talk about his numbers, his shots. The Asian dude, I mean, they just go in on his race.
I don't think anybody here disagrees that it's a factor. It's just not a factor in that context. In the context of that particular tweet, I'll say that. In that particular
tweet. Okay, that particular tweet in terms of black. I mean, that to me sounded just like when Isaiah said what he said and he got crucified for it. Isaiah said that if Larry Bird was black, he'd be an average player.
But at the and that was just ridiculous because Larry Bird was busting everybody. Like, sometimes you say that's exactly the kind of context I'm thinking about, because it's like you basically coming out and you just throwing barbs at the dude for no reason. Like, there's not a lot of black players during any stretch. Now, I know it's going to fizzle out. I know he's not going to average 27 points for the season. But the dude came off the couch scoring 27-8. Give him his props. Larry Bird cracked people's heads. You know, black, white, red, yellow, his whole career. Isaiah, give him his props. It had everything to do with him being better than all of y'all.
So Larry's my top 5 to 8 ever. Come on, Isaiah.
Yeah,
and Isaiah, you could even say, Isaiah, shut your damn mouth. You weren't better than Bird, and you kissed Magic. So what are you talking about?
Larry Bird, if he was black, he would be much more than average. He'd be weird because you'd be like, why can't that black dude jump? Why the black dude never dunk and stuff like that? But he'd still be better than everybody.
He'd be Joe Johnson times three.
So let's talk about his game then, since nobody else ever gives him the respect enough to talk about Jeremy Lin's game. What do you guys think are like the strengths and weaknesses of his game? I can tell you a few weaknesses. Not that I'm, you know, dwelling on the weak part, but
he can't go left.
I've noticed that the dude, when he goes left, like he almost, and I'm not going to say always because there's a lot of minutes in the game, but he turns the ball over a lot when he makes any extended drive to the left. And he has a tendency to, I like that he goes to the rack. I love that. That's why he scores, because he goes to the rack and he gets fouled and he goes to the line 8 times a game. But at the same time, a lot of his drives are out of control and he ends up dribbling to a double team and he turns the ball over a whole lot. But, you know, you can basically say he's a rookie. I mean, even a second-year guard. Rookie guards, second-year guards. What superstar guard do you know as a rookie and a second-year player that didn't lead the league in turnovers? AI, yeah. Even Jason Kidd, you know, cats like that. So,
John Wall.
You know, he's really six. I mean, he's played some minutes throughout his career, but for real, he's 6-7 games into his career. So the turnovers will fizzle out, you know, probably just like his scoring average will fizzle down a little bit. But, you know, his jump shot is iffy. He seems to make it when it counts. So
he makes it when LeBron wouldn't.
Yeah, but I like the fact that he goes to the rack and he's fearless. He's not afraid. So
if you put him in that pick and roll situation, just positives, he has an uncanny ability to make the right decision and see the court coming off of the screen. That's the positive I see. I wouldn't say he's a great jump shooter. He's not a great athlete, but he's good enough. When he comes off, he's putting pressure on the D. Somebody's got to rotate. Somebody's got to step up. And as the defense collapses, he always finds the cutter or finds the shooter for the shot where the man is rotated off. That's what I like about his game. And then, as you say, he can't get left.
Yeah. He goes left, but he just has trouble.
But it's an adventure.
I mean, because I've seen him drive all the way down left, circle the baseline, come out and, you know, make a nice pass or shoot a little fadeaway. But if he's really, really trying to go and somebody's D'ing him up, a lot of times he dribbles himself into a trap. But
he turns the ball.
And he was saying, one of the things he was saying was in Toronto, they were starting to show him different looks, and they were trapping him off the screen.
Calderon was lighting his ass on fire
until they
shumpered on him.
I was impressed with what he said, more so than what he did. But he said, you know, as teams begin to design defenses to stop him, you know, he's just soaking it all up, and it's opportunity for him to learn more. And you very rarely hear NBA players or guards articulate themselves in that manner. You know, you may hear Kobe say something like that. But other than that, you know, him kind of processing information and putting that out there as a part of the game, I'm impressed with that. And, the boy Calderon was trying to score. I've never seen Calderon play D. He played D on Lin.
I don't know about the D. Like, Lin, you know, Stoudemire was back. You know, he was doing more to pick and roll because he was getting a lot of assists. But Calderon offensively, he had 25 points before they switched Shumpert onto him, who totally shut Calderon down. You know, so that gave Lin the chance to, you know, he doesn't have to chase Calderon around on defense. I mean, not that he's the quickest, but he's kind of crafty. So he will run you through things and you know, hit you with the pump fakes, the three-point threat and all that kind of stuff. He'll get you tired even though he's not a quick cat. But that freed Lin up to do his thing offensively because he didn't have to worry about guarding Calderon anymore, who was on fire that night. And then that gave the Knicks the opportunity to come back, and then he came down with five tenths of a second left, cool and calm, hit the three, won the game. So, I don't know. Kudos to his game.
Yeah,
but he's not a good defender. At least
not yet. His basal ganglia is definitely on point.
Yeah, his defense right now leaves a lot to be desired. But, I mean, that's another thing. This is the NBA. It's a new speed for you. You know, you're thrown out there. But there's a lot of people out there who are saying, you know, that's not giving him his props. Like anybody else could do this. Like, oh, it'll fizzle out, this and that. Okay, of course, like we said earlier, he's not going to average 27, 28 points a game. But it might not be because his game fizzles out and people learns how to play you. It might just end up being because, you know, two All-Stars come back into the lineup. Right. Well, two All-Stars come back into the lineup, and, I mean, those dudes make $18 million apiece. They have to get the ball. You know, I don't know. What do you guys think about the whole Melo thing? Because he's getting a lot of disrespect from Knicks fans, national fans. You know, have you guys ever put, like, we say a lot of things about Melo, but have you ever put him in the selfish category?
A little bit.
I think Melo is selfish.
I think he's an isolation
player, but that's the stuff that his coaches.
I think he has a particular type of game. He has a particular set of skills. He's a scorer. That's what he does.
Yeah,
he is.
When I think it's selfish, it's not so much necessarily just the shot selection, because he's put in a position where he's got to take all those shots. But I think that Melo's the type of dude that he doesn't concentrate enough on other facets of the game, cliche as that may sound.
So that makes it, I feel you.
He doesn't concentrate on other things, and that in and of itself is selfish, because with his talent level, he can do so much on a basketball court to help a team win. He's a bear in the post, so you know he can rebound. He could play. He could try and learn how to play defense. He doesn't have to follow the route of Vince Carter. I mean, he can learn how to D up a lot better. So there are other things, and I think that that's a little.
I don't really think it's learn behavior, man. I think defense is effort.
Everybody's
not
going
to be a lockdown,
on Twitter,
but if you show some effort,
room,
you can be a pretty good defender. Go ahead,
on Twitter, Kevin Lang says that the guy was smart enough to go to Harvard. He thinks that he'll adapt and get even better. #Linsanity. In our chat room, Will Garland says, Lin is the new Tim Tebow for the media. The NBA was born until he showed up. And Ray Ping Dong says, I think Melo is a piece of trash.
Damn.
He said he's going to come back like looking like Charles Barkley and fat. So we got cats going right in on
I think the Knicks fans need to watch their mouth there, because they go, damn, Lin, they go as far as Melo can take them in that triumvirate, if you will.
And that's the God's honest truth right there, Austin. Like, I'm not saying that the Knicks are even good enough to go anywhere with Melo, but they damn sure won't be going anywhere without Melo. So, you know, let's stop with the, you know, now it's popular, it's trendy to bash Carmelo Anthony after the whole city begged for him to be there. So it's like,
yeah.
Now all of a sudden, because you like I said, you beat six garbage cans of the league, we don't need Melo anymore.
That's how it is. You know, it's all about what's popping right now.
Yeah.
You know,
this is the perfect storm for them, though, Jim. It's going to be the perfect storm for Melo bashing, because once he comes back, they're going to start playing better teams. They're going to lose some of these games, and people are going to say, see, we didn't need Melo. He's messing everything up. But nobody's going to look at the schedule and say, maybe we were going to have trouble here anyway. Maybe we took advantage of games we were supposed to take advantage of. You know,
but, you know, here's one thing to say about that, too, though. When Melo was there, they was losing to them bad teams. And I agree with you in terms of they go as far as Melo, but this guy brought an energy to the team that they didn't have in terms of
That's exactly the point I was going to make. You're right about that. What Linsanity did, what he did do was bring that energy. I mean, I guess if the other guys know, like, you know, we are going to run this up-tempo style now, and I'm going to get the rock, so I need to keep my head on the swivel for the rock. You know, I might want to play a little harder. But
yeah.
I don't blame that on Melo. I blame it on the coach allowing that to go down. Like, you know, we don't have the point guard or the pieces to run our system. So, Melo, go out there and put it on your back. But then he gets bashed for it.
You know, one of the testaments to Melo's game, and one of the things that makes Melo so great as an offensive weapon is he can do everything on a basketball court well. Dude can actually take more possessions as a spot up shooter to open it up for Lynn. He doesn't have to run as many ISOs, and I think that's a part of, you know, be careful what you wish for with all of this negative talk towards Melo. Because Melo can stand, or he can be a stand around jump shooter and get 20 doing that. He's that good.
What was you about to say, Jim, about Tyson Chandler?
No, I was saying that he's finally looking like Tyson Chandler. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Well, this dude from Michigan State looked like Brandon Bass. He got a little brother or something. But what a lot of people don't realize too is Melo was the person that has been up in D'Antoni's ear lately to give Jeremy Lin a shot. So, you know, it's just crazy to me that, you know, Melo gets a groin injury and now all of a sudden he has to come back and fit in. Come on, y'all begged for me to be here. They gave me $18 million. Jeremy Lin is balling great, but seriously, he has to fit in with Melo. But I think D'Antoni's finally got the type of point guard that he needs to run his system. And Jeremy Lin might have damn
Jeremy
well
Lin
saved
his
job.
Yeah,
he may have saved his job. Because he might be right now poor man Steve Nash, even though he's playing like a wealthy man Steve Nash. He's playing like a Steve Nash.
Yeah, I mean, this is true, but, you know, like, it's D'Antoni's system has a lot to do with this as well. The system that he runs, you know, it always has these inflated stats for the point guard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I agree, but I also would say in today's basketball, there's no better weapon than the old school fundamental pick and roll. And Jeremy Lin would be able to run pick and roll no matter what. So I think that his numbers, I think this guy can legitimately average 7 to 8 assists, maybe even 9 a game.
Well, he's already doing that. Yeah, I don't. Now, that's the stat that I don't think will go down once Melo comes.
Yeah,
I mean, even though Melo is known as a ball stopper because he's kind of a, you know, isolation player. So I don't know. That may take away some of the assists because Melo's not really known to just stand there and catch and shoot and things like that. So that may take a little bit of his assist down, but I think he's going to be spreading the ball around. And, you know, everybody's probably going to get there. He's going to throw the alley-oops to Tyson Chandler and, you know, all the stuff that they're doing. They got Beanie Siegel making jump shots now. Bill Walker.
As a basketball purist, I am so happy that I do not have to see Iman Shumpert at the one and Tony Douglas.
Oh, God.
Yo. You know how there's some guys, like, it's automatically assumed that if you're a certain height that you got handle, that you can dribble. Yo, Eddie House and Tony Douglas cannot dribble.
Huh? That's what the Knicks went into the season with.
The Knicks were back, though. The Knicks are back.
Yeah, now maybe they're really back. So, like I said, I'll believe, not the Linsanity hype, because, like I said, he's balling. But, you know, I'll believe that, you know, he possibly has done a lot to save the Knicks season when they start beating some better teams. But like Jimmy said, there's more bad teams in the league than good teams. So if they just keep beating up on the bottom dwellers, that'll get you a playoff spot. That'll get you a playoff spot. So
ooh,
I mean,
yo,
it was like
ooh,
that
yo.
With the 76ers for a minute. You know, before we went on that little run, we were beating up on all the bottom dwellers and losing to everybody else. So
who would y'all rather have take the last shot for you, Jeremy Lin or LeBron James?
Oh, man. I haven't seen enough of Jeremy Lin to even diss LeBron on that level. So you're going to have to ask that question later on. Right now, I'd still go to LeBron. But I'm not going to diss the dude on that level just yet.
Jimmy.
I don't know. Ask New Yorkers, Jim. He's screening.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. You answer the question. You asked it.
I'm biased.
You'd rather have Jeremy Lin take the shot than LeBron James?
I'd rather have LeBron do my heavy lifting for the entire game, and then the last 2 minutes, if I put Jeremy Lin in the pick and roll on whatever team I have and have LeBron kind of run the baseline, man. I like Jeremy Lin's decision-making in the pick and roll for the last play of the game. That's not to say he'll take the last shot, but I like him with the ball in his hands.
All right,
yeah,
we're going to go to the phone lines real quick. We got our man Corey on the line. Corey, what's up, man? You're in the war room.
What's going on, fellas?
Chilling. What's going
what's
on?
Good, Corey.
Yo, yeah, I've been listening to y'all for like the last hour, man, and I had to get in on Jeremy Lin and Carmelo Anthony and the whole Jeremy Lin insanity thing. Jeremy Lin's a baller, but Carmelo, like y'all said, Carmelo's doing the heavy lifting. He got if they don't go anywhere without Carmelo Anthony.
Right.
If they go to the first round and burn, Jeremy Lin is going to end up on the end of somebody's bench again next year. That's like Tony's not going to have a job.
Yeah.
So
well, I don't know. He might be there to stay now because that's going to be he's going to be a moneymaker for the league, whether he's starting, coming off the bench or whatever. I guarantee you, if he's on a roster next year, which he probably will be, he's starting in the All-Star game just because you got, you know, a billion people over in China who are going to vote
right,
for him.
Right, right. I mean, that's true. But, I mean, listen, man, I like Jeremy Lin. Like I was saying about his decision-making and those kind of things, he's a ball player. And, you know, and as people say, he went to Harvard, so he's smart enough to adjust. But, I mean, I just don't – I don't see him going anywhere without Carmelo Anthony. Like, he is he is going to be with where they go.
Hey, I think Knicks fans are tripping, man. I think they're tripping right now.
Absolutely.
And on the Floyd Mayweather thing, Floyd Mayweather lost his mind. Like, Floyd Mayweather is – he took too many punches to the face. Like he out of control. I understand the point he was trying to make, but what he said was dumb.
For me, I understand what he's trying to say, but he didn't do well at communicating what he wanted to say. But at the end of the day, you're right. He's a boxer, and we should never listen to anybody get punches
it's
in
like,
the face.
I can kind of see if the dude during this streak was averaging 18 a game. You know what I'm saying?
I'm
he averaging 18 a game, and the hype is the same level it is right now. Then you can say that. Like, dog, it's a lot of black dudes averaging 18 a game. Rudy Gay averaged 19 a game, and he can't even get an All-Star game. You know what I mean?
Hey, Corey.
I will
Corey,
be right
yeah.
there with him on that. But this dude is averaging 28 points a game when he's homeless.
Nine.
He's basically
homeless. He's
homeless.
Real quick, Corey.
Yeah.
Floyd was trying to get attention, and it worked. And we also have a message for you from the chat room. The homie Nod says, he said, Corey, there's no Asian women listening to the show, so you can stop fishing.
I'll call him myself and tell him what I got to tell him.
All right, thanks for the call, Corey.
Not a problem.
Thanks, Corey.
We got another call, yo. We have Rick from Florida on the line who wants to talk. Let me bring him on.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going,
Rick, welcome to the war room.
What's going on?
Hey, I wanted to call in. I'm calling in, as I mentioned, the one guy who was screening. I'm from Florida myself, so I had to go through the whole thing with LeBron and, you know, some of the choke jobs he's pulled on us with the Heat in the last year or so. So I have a little bit of a different opinion on who I'd rather have taking that final fourth quarter shot, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Wow.
But,
wow.
Yeah, there you hear it from a Florida fan up close and personal.
Florida's in the house. We got a Florida guy in our chat room, too. Shout out to Willie. And he's in the chat room dissing LeBron as well, so.
And, you know, the one thing I got to say is, you know, LeBron, he gets his. I mean, I'm not gonna hate on him like a lot of people do just because the dude's making money and saying what he says. You know, he has his opinion to act like an ass if he wants to act like an ass. But that doesn't mean I have to like him. But,
there you go.
Did you hear what LeBron said today, though?
No, what did he say? Well, I thought that he was saying something about calling some fan out, trying to say he'd kick his butt and all this stuff.
Oh, no, that was last week. Actually, yeah, he was saying that he was maybe open to going back to Cleveland. But we're going to talk about that after the whole Jeremy Lin thing. So just stay on the line after you finish making your point. But go ahead. Say what you were going to say about LeBron.
Well, I mean, outside of that, I mean, I was pretty much trying to get into the whole Jeremy Lin, Carmelo Anthony deal.
Okay.
I mean, Jeremy Lin, I know someone was kind of saying he's like Tim Tebow. Well, no, he's a little bit different than Tim Tebow. He can Lin can actually deliver, where Tebow just kind of sits out there and plays with his pecker shaft. Seriously, though, I mean, am I not right? I mean,
that's surprising to hear from a Florida resident, because I thought Tebow was a god in Florida.
Well, I mean, he's as clutch as it can be. I mean, Tebow, he's out there. I mean, it's not too good. But, no, I mean, seriously, though, like, if you look at Carmelo Anthony, I mean, I give it to the guy. He's a good player. But, you know, it's kind of like what the one guy was saying there in the chat room, where it's like, you know, Jeremy Lin's sporting a 15.5-inch John Holmes sausage. Mello's sitting there with a 3-inch pink willy.
We have to see how long that's going to last. We have to see how much it's going to last, though. I mean, Mello's a proven player in the NBA.
No!
I guess he's not a proven winner. He's been to the playoffs every year of his career, but he hasn't won anything yet. But I still don't think the Knicks go anywhere without Carmelo, though.
Right. No, I agree. And can I ask one question? Do you guys think that, and this is just a total thought, I don't know what your guys' thought is on it, but are you guys up in New York?
No, we're in Philly.
Well, we're Philadelphia in the D.C. area.
Okay, cool. So you guys may get some of the stuff as far as what's going on up there, but has there been any type of cracks on Jeremy Lin or anything about his race, or has anyone started trying to play the race card on this guy already, saying, oh, you know, it's an Asian basketball player and all this crap?
Well, here's the thing. It's a double-edged sword. Because of his race, they're saying that he doesn't get some of the same opportunities, but at the same token, he's playing out of his mind. And there's a huge Asian community on the East Coast, so, you know, they're going to support him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, personally, I think that's kind of trash. If a guy's good enough, they're going to give him the opportunity.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Right, I agree. And like you said, it's been a short period of time. So, I mean, the guy has to do it. It's not a few games. He has to do this over a couple seasons to be considered, you know, even close to what Carmelo Anthony has done for what? How many seasons has he been playing?
Nine at this point.
9 seasons, yeah.
Yeah, so, and he's done it consistent. So.
All right, well, thanks for your call, Rick, man. We really appreciate
guys.
It.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. Yep. He's just playing with his pecker shaft.
Playing with his pecker.
Yo, man, that's the first person from Florida I've heard say anything
bad
about people. The homie Tebow.
Yeah. All right, well.
That's crazy.
Lin's sanity is on fire, and we know that. So a little bit more news. You know, the Lakers, they considered three guards to help their struggling backcourt. One we know was Gilbert Arenas, who they worked out. They were considering Rafer Austin, Skip DeMalou, and they were even considering Allen Iverson. But with Allen Iverson, they said they would want him to do a stint with their D-League affiliate first so they can see, you know, if it was worth doing that. I think initially Allen Iverson's people kind of scoffed at that, but a report came out today that says Allen Iverson is willing to play in these lower leagues like the D-League, you know, Venezuela, Puerto Rico, if it means a shot in the NBA. But basically, AI, what they're telling you is they want to see you first. It's not a guarantee just because you go down there that they're going to give you a spot. I mean, I think it's sad that it's gotten to the point where this is Allen Iverson's legacy, but that's where it is. Do you think he would have been a good fit with the Lakers? I mean, because I'm sure he would be coming off the bench. But
you gotta let Jimmy answer that.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, and this is going to sound very crazy. Me and Austin had a conversation this week, and I was telling him that out of the three, Gilbert, AI, and Skip, I would rather have Skip to my Lou out of all three of them.
Really?
And I know it sounds crazy, but here's why. Because he doesn't come in with that ego. He's never been the type of player that AI has, or even Gilbert for that matter.
I don't know. He'd be slapping dudes in the back of the head, though.
I mean, that's what happened when you bust on my ass, though.
We got to get that sound back.
That's what happened when you bust into my ass. But I mean,
I think out of the three with the Lakers, I think I would take Gilbert Arenas at this point.
I would
reason,
say
reason
zero,
I'm saying that
say
because I've seen interviews where Gilbert Arenas absolutely gave Kobe Bryant the respect of his pop. And I just don't think Gilbert would go into the situation in L.A. with that much of an ego because of the way he respects Kobe Bryant. But I think he will be able to. I think he will be able to help that team, though.
It used to be the AI is better than Kobe argument. Remember that in those days?
You remember those arguments?
I know that the interview that you're referring to, where he just kept saying, "Yo, he makes shots."
Yeah, when he was like on the table getting treatment, and they were watching
Kobe
the Lakers.
Kobe Bryant is a shot maker. He makes shots. That's all he kept saying for like 20 seconds with a wide-eyed kid look like he was talking about his hero. He makes shots.
That's all Gilbert
cared
about.
He got his John Gruden on for a minute. He got his John Gruden on.
I think that I'll just leave Allen Iverson out of this conversation and just touch on Skip versus Gilbert. I think that either of them would be a huge step over having me play, and me meaning the equivalent of Derek Fisher, because we're probably about one in the same at this point. Gilbert Arenas gives you somebody that's 6'3", 6'4", long, rangy. Never been known for his defense, but he's got to be a better defensive option than Fisher at this point.
I'm a better defensive option than Fisher at this point.
True indeed. And then you've got Rafer. And the reason that I like Rafer for that team is Rafer is the only true point guard that we talked about. The other two dudes are shooting guards or combo guards. Rafer is not a two. He plays the one. He sets the table. He runs an offense. And I think that that would be very helpful having somebody like Mike Brown coaching, because Mike Brown doesn't know the first thing about offense or what he's doing. So having
I actually think they need more scoring, man.
Yeah.
I think Kobe's taking too big of a load. And then, you know, you have a lot of detractors out there that are saying that he's doing that out of selfishness. But that's not true. I mean, he has very talented big men. But they're not as consistent as people would want them to be or make them out to be. And, you know, there's times when Gasol just, you know, crawls back into his turtle shell and goes back to Gasol. And there's just plain times when Andrew Bynum is just a little overzealous and he's just missing bunnies all over the place.
Yo, Bynum.
I think they need more scoring from the perimeter.
Game, be Austin and Derek Fisher.
I got him. Trust me. Give me
Austin posting him. Well, no, B. Austin don't step inside the 3-point line. So he's going to be no posting no more.
He has good talks to take two players that would help the Lakers if they could trade for him would be like a Johnny Flynn or a Nick Young.
Woo. Nick Young, I ain't going to hold
Young
you.
Nick Young from USD. Young. I'm pretty sure, you know, they'd welcome him in the city.
Nick is a scoring machine, but Nick Young is actually the person that put it out there in the media that Gilbert went to go see a German doctor like his hero.
Yeah. Well, look, we got a few minutes left. Unfortunately, our guest isn't going to be able to join us tonight. We're going to have to reschedule that. So, I mean, I hope y'all are listening to us.
I just talked to him. We can't make it on.
Yeah,
but,
I hope y'all listen to us for us and not just for the guests. But we'll straighten that situation
out.
Huh?
Real quick, Naran said he wants y'all to know that he's still making the argument that AI is better than Bean. He's willing to argue right now.
All right, we'll tell him we can have that. Matter of fact, tell him we're going to have that argument as a segment next week, and we're going to have him on the show, and we're going to have that argument.
Tell him I support him, and out of respect, I just would not participate.
All right, we got two more things I want to get to before. I want to get you guys' opinion on two things. The first thing is Shaq saying that if Dwight Howard left Orlando, that would be a travesty. Y'all got any thoughts
on that?
That's your man. I mean, that's your man.
Yo, I don't even know what to say to that, man. Like, where's that? What do you say?
Okay. This is the difference, and this is how he tries to justify it. He's saying back when he did it, it was a different landscape in the league. He got more money to leave. He's saying
that's
Dwight's
true.
In a situation where, you know, they can pay you like $30 million more dollars than any other team over the span of his contract. But I'm like, why is Shaq, like, I don't, why would you even be concerned about his money? You know, and what he's leaving on the table. I kind of think he just talks about Dwight Howard a little too much. Like, okay, the whole Superman thing. I agree with you, Shaq. Like, nickname jacking is a pet peeve of mine. Like, even if other people are giving it to you, don't accept somebody else's nickname. But on the other hand, Shaq had 65 nicknames, so you can't hog every nickname out there. But he did the Superman thing over the top. Shaq, remember on Cribs, he had Superman emblems on everything. When I was at Staples Center going to the game, you know, I was mad early because I was all overzealous. This was the first time I had been to Staples Center. Shaq rides by to go to the players' parking lot. He got a Superman emblem on the front of his Benz. So, okay, out of all the nicknames, I give him Superman, and I don't like nickname jacking. I don't
like
to call the
game. I know nickname jacking is weak and all that, but here's what's crazy about it. I remember when Dwight first came in the league, when he was skinny before he got on the Barry Bonds, and he was a Shaquille O'Neal Stanley. When I say Stanley, he was, I want to be like Shaq. I want to Shaq. I mean, he wanted to be like Shaq so bad that he took his moniker. He was kind of like, in his eyes, he thought he was paying him respect. And he used to kiss Shaq's behind, but Shaq, I guess, didn't take it that way and took it as
disrespect. You know what, though? Jim, the real criminals in this situation are the Orlando Magic. Because when he makes a basket, they play the Superman emblem the Superman song just like they did with Shaq. So, you know, the Orlando Magic are frauds in this situation.
Orlando Magic probably still hold a grudge that Shaq left.
Salty that Shaq rolled out.
But
we're losing sight of the noodle in this, and the noodle is Shaq. I mean, we can get to Dwight's noodlery. Yo, leave your mouth off of other men, Shaq. It's done.
Like,
I still don't
understand. Like, even when you throw out the whole $30 million thing, because I don't understand why Shaq is in his bank account. You did the same thing. You left Orlando. And wait, Shaq left Orlando with a better team. Shaq left a championship-caliber team to leave and go do Kazam and do movies and stuff like that. Dwight's trying to get out of what he sees as a bad situation. I mean, we knock him for it all the time. But in this context, with Shaq talking trash, you had Penny, Nick Anderson. You had a bomb squad. Horace Grant, y'all just went to the finals. You just went to the conference finals, and then you roll out because you want to make B-movies. But you know, 15 years later, you want to tell this man, you know, it's a travesty if you leave them like that. Come on, Shaq. Come on, Shaq. I got one more for y'all. I got one more for y'all. LeBron James, you know, they were at Quicken Loans Arena, and the people were asking him questions if he would ever be open to coming back to Cleveland. These are his quotes. He said, "I think it would be great. It would be fun to play in front of these fans again. I had a lot of fun times here. You can't predict the future. Hopefully you continue to stay healthy. I'm here as a Miami player, and I'm happy where I am now, but I don't rule it out in any sense. If I decide to come back, hopefully the fans will accept me." Thoughts, quickly. We ain't got that much time left. Thoughts. You hear him take the sigh, Jimmy?
He just continues. You ask me not to dunk the ball, but you throw it up at the rim. What am I? Yo, shut your damn mouth. Shut up. Why would you even answer that question? You could have snidely or sarcastically came back with something. Get creative. I don't care. Yo, stop giving me ammunition. That's how I'm going to respond to that. Stop. Just say I play for the Miami Heat now. I love playing for the Miami Heat. I want to live up to the decision, the horrible decision to do the decision. I want to live up to me and my cohorts acting like little girls talking about 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 champions. Yo, I just want to live up to the hype here in Miami.
Yo, my thing with LeBron is like, yo, just focus on hoops. Like, it's no one can ever deny, no one can ever, like, deny his talent. He has talent, like, out of this world. But he needs to focus specifically on his craft and win the championships and become the player that everybody believes he can be. Then you can say whatever you want to say. Exactly. You won a couple championships, and you can talk greasy about everybody, talk about where you want to play and all that, but until you do, you just need to fall back. I mean, that's my only thing. Like,
yo, fall back like your hairline.
Listen, listen. And somebody actually on our Facebook page today actually praising his PR skills, saying he's been good at PR ever since the decision. This is terrible. He let another reporter set him up. And you know why he allowed this to happen? Just because of what Little Mouth said last week. LeBron wants everybody to like him. This was his way of trying to sneak back in good with Cleveland fans by giving them hope down the line in the future, when it's a question that you should not even be answering when you have heat written across your jersey. Stop letting people set you up. The media wants everybody to bash you. They want you to say stupid things out of your mouth so we can have this very conversation that we're having here. Like I said earlier, like I forgot to even say it when we talked about Roddy White. I love when players speak their mind. If that's your opinion, say it. What Floyd had to say, I love when people speak their mind. If that's your opinion, say it. But don't be upset when there's a bunch of people who don't agree with your opinion or even go as far as thinking your opinion is straight up stupid or just whatever you said was stupid. I just don't think as a Heat player you should even be entertaining questions like this.
I'm like, why are you
trying to set me up, man? I'm not answering that question. I love Cleveland. I'm from Akron. That's where we're going to leave it.
I ain't
talking about where
no
I'm going to go next. You're supposed to get...
I ain't getting no money in Akron. But, yo, I blame LeBron's pop, and that's just the end of it. I mean, that's all I got to say.
There it is.
War
yo,
Room Daddy.
And yet again, that's a great plug for the War Room for
War
professional
Room
athletes, big brothers.
Nah,
and
we got to stretch it out. It has to be entertainment. It can't just be athletes, because I promised some people the other day that we take Chris Brown into our daddy in program because he needs a daddy.
The War Room Sports Daddy to Entertainment and Athletes program will be your pop or your big brother for a retainer, a nominal fee, and help you make these decisions that you can't make because you didn't have a good fatherly or big brother influence
on
your life.
This is basically for us, this is a for-profit charity, if that's a such thing. A for-profit charity. We will give you daddy, and we will guide you in the right direction. But, no, I really just think that it's one of those questions where you profess your love for Ohio, but you just tell dude, I'm not getting roped into that, man. I haven't even gotten the first one of my 7 championships with the Heat, and you're already asking me if I play for Cleveland again. And my dumb ass dumb enough to go ahead and say I'd leave that open. I might do that.
I got stood up in the finals by Jason Edward Terry.
Yeah.
I lit up by Jason Terry, so that's ridiculous.
Yeah, fellas, it's about that time to get
out of here.
Yeah, you ready?
Already?
Get out of here.
That was fast.
Yeah, that did go by fast. Thanks for joining us in the War Room this evening, good folks. Thanks for everybody participating in the show. You know, everybody in the chat room on Facebook and Twitter and those that called in. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for the greatest sports show on the Third Rock. We'll be talking NBA All-Star Weekend in Orlando, a.k.a. Jeremy Lin Weekend. And we'll catch you up on all the latest sports stories of the week. Till next week, everybody. We're going to go out to my man, Shaquille Rashawn O'Neal.
We holla.
Stop it, block it, when I drop it. Anytime I go rhyme for rhyme on a topic. They ain't even fit to step in Shaq's arena. I look inside your mind and I see your true demeanor. In your eyes, why are you surprised? No matter how you try, not fly as eloquent. The new addition, is this the end of your last night? In the daytime, you couldn't see me with a flashlight. I crash flights on sights of my enemy. I'm coming through and then I bomb your whole vicinity. Why that acting fake and chat, you're not a friend to me. I peeped your card, you're not as hard as you pretend to be. Who wanna spark it with the chocolate? Macadamium, head clean to the cranium. You know the name, Shaq aim to maintain. Money on the brain, can't stop the rain. Legends and bigots, cream lizards, cream coochies. I do my duty as long as they fly as me and high as me. Success on my circle, try to break it, I hurt you. Ain't no getting out that, I doubt that. We want the exotic, erotic ladies, not the toxic ladies that burn a lot. I learned a lot from junkies to ruffians, from being tied up by Colombians. Cause 80 grams was missing, listen, had to change my position from wanting to be large to head. In charge, my garage call it CeeLo. 4, 5, and 6s, honey's by the mixer. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Smoke out with Leo, Biggie Tarantino. Size like a sumo, Frank White numero uno. Can't stop, won't stop. Who wanna test it? Foreign or domestic? No matter where you're from, I'm not the one you wanna mess with. Original, with his style, living lavish. Private jets to let my shorty shop in Paris. I'm not the average, I'm far from the norm. And daddy long, hitting them strong, keeping you warm.
Alive to a lemon, my DC women bringing in Fiji minimums to condos with elevators in them. Vehicles with televisions in them. Watch the entourage turn yours to just mirages. Disappearing acts, strictly nines and max. Killers be serial, Copperfield material. My dreams are vivid, work hard to live it. Any place I visit, I got land there. I can play a stand there and say I sound like them. Hello, push things back to push six coops to Dello. Plus quick to expand from hand to elbow. Spray up your days in any teller you in. Crack Brian, sick of Brian, how my mix be dragging. Desert East Street. Decide to be my wagon. I rely on Bed-Stuy to shut it down if I die. Put that on my diamond bezel. You're messing with the devil.